You are listening to The News Project for the week of August 12th, 2019. Brought to you by GNAT TV. This week brings you stories about Bennington's Putnam Block swings into high gear, if faced with an active shooter, what would you do? And the Manchester Planning Commission asks the question, is the workload too much for one person?
Wednesday, August 7th, marked the end of one chapter in the multi-year history of the Putnam Block redevelopment project in downtown Bennington, and the start of another. Ground was officially broken on the four-acre site, which contains three historic buildings, including the Putnam Hotel at the southwestern corner of the intersection of Routes 7 and 9 in the heart of Bennington's downtown core, plus a former lumberyard and hardware store, with several state officials, including Governor Phil Scott and Congressman Peter Welch, on hand to cheer the local group of supporters who persevered through several years of effort to pull together a financial package to bring the initiative to this point.
The Putnam Block is one of the most important economic development initiatives underway in Vermont right now. The fact is we need to give a helping hand to our economic centers outside of Chittenden County. Places like Bennington, Brattleboro, Rutland, Springfield, and many others, in order to re-energize our rural communities. Big projects take vision, they take commitment, and they also take, of course, a little bit of money.
But the groundbreaking was just the first of a three-phase project that will ultimately require about $54 million to demolish, rebuild, and rehabilitate the structures into viable commercial and residential space that is hoped will breathe new life and economic activity into the downtown and the community as a whole. About half of the funding for the second and third phases has yet to be secured. Bob Stevens of M&S Development, the lead architect of the project, spoke about the challenges the Bennington Redevelopment Group, or BRG, had to overcome to get to this point.
3 years of trying to get this to close and a lot of help, so we're pretty excited to be here today to celebrate the groundbreaking and to really get started on the real work of building these buildings and getting it occupied. That's the point of this. It seemed like we kept discovering challenges every month down the road. So the biggest challenge is one that's the fundamental problem with our downtowns, our rural downtowns, in that the market doesn't really pay high enough rents to justify the cost of rebuilding. So we have a problem to begin with. And then we try to solve that by bringing different subsidy programs. This one needed perhaps more than most. And so it was that effort to get other participants, partners, to see the worth of this for the community, to bring capital in, to close the gap. That's really what took 3 years. Yeah.
The Bennington Redevelopment Group, a group of local leaders and residents, which included the Bank of Bennington, Bennington College, Southwestern Vermont Healthcare, and several other local private sector businesses, first formed in 2014, seeking ways to help revitalize the economic fortunes of Bennington. They joined forces with the Bennington County Industrial Corporation, led by Bill Colvin, and began focusing early on the Putnam Block area, but had to overcome several hurdles, mostly of a financial nature, which included a proposed change in tax incentives contained in the 2017 federal tax overhaul. The final legislation passed by the U.S. Congress that year restored those tax credits and incentives, which many developers consider critical to helping move such projects along, since the economic payoff can sometimes seem distant.
I was taken off on what the banker said, that this didn't make, quote, economic sense. But it makes spiritual sense. It makes sense if you want to build a community that's going to be there for your kids. It makes sense to have our hospital involved when they know that a strong downtown community helps people emotionally and physically. And it's so different than that sort of Wall Street approach where the hedge fund folks just want to get a bottom line that's beneficial to them, not for the community. And you put something together where you start revitalizing a community, that does pay off economically because it helps people create, it helps create jobs, it creates a place where people get together. So the idea that everything just has to be on an economic calculation of immediate, very quick return versus a long-term commitment to a place in life, to a community, that's what's being challenged here. And that's what's so inspiring about what the folks in Bennington have done. The other thing that's really important is that You have to have institutions. You have to have these banks that are willing to step up. You have to have a state government with its help that is there to help its citizens who are trying to help themselves. And then the federal programs really make a difference as resources. But the key component is people in the community who have faith in the future and are willing to work. And then if there are these other institutions that can help with the resources to make it possible, then that's tremendous. And that's what you're seeing here. It's why I think Governor Scott was so excited about it, why I'm so excited about it, and why all of us here are feeling a very celebratory moment.
Bennington College and the Southwestern Vermont Healthcare will be among the businesses taking space in the new complex when it opens. The first phase of construction is scheduled to be completed by the middle of next year. The first phase involves the environmental cleanup, demolition, and restoration of the three historic buildings. The second phase will involve construction of two new buildings at the end of the block, while the third phase will create new housing. All told, the project will create about 175,000 square feet of commercial and residential space. Assembling the financial package was complex, involving numerous parties and approvals from 21 funding sources, including the state of Vermont, which allocated more than $3 million to the project, including federal pass-through funds. Breadloaf Construction in Middlebury is the lead contractor for the project, and when construction is at its peak, expects to have more than 100 workers on the site. Reporting for the GNAT TV News Project, I'm Andrew McKeever. What would you do if you suddenly and totally unexpectedly found yourself in a place where an active shooter, someone with a weapon, was suddenly attacking and firing upon people in a commercial building, a school, a church, or some other place where you just happened to be? Some advanced knowledge of what to do and how to respond can make a critical difference in the time between an active shooter begins a rampage and when the police and law enforcement arrives. The average response time is fairly short, only about 5 minutes, but a lot can happen in that period of time. In the wake of several shooting incidents in recent weeks and an ongoing pattern of violent mass shootings occurring with some regularity, a previously scheduled informational and training session based on the ALICE principles, alert, lockdown, inform, counter, and evacuate, conducted by Corporal Chris Mason of the Manchester Police Department in conjunction with the Vermont Department of Health, drew a substantial crowd to Riley Rink at Harner Park on Wednesday, August 14th, to hear his presentation, which he's given several times before. The basic idea of ALICE, alert, lockdown, inform, counter, and evacuate, is to be aware of your environment and what to do if faced with a sudden active shooter emergency. Depending on the circumstances, people may opt to barricade doors or find safe hiding places, or in certain circumstances, counter the would-be killer with noise and distraction. It also explores ways of safely getting out of buildings while under duress.
Think about, what are you going to do, or what would I do right now if an active shooter walked in my door? Where would I go? What would I do? That's something to think about. Again, don't live in fear. Don't live in paranoia. Just have that cautionary yellow. Be in that yellow stage. Situational awareness, okay? And this is for if you are barricaded, if you're locked down, secure in place, you've got no other exit, this is your last resort, okay? If it's just you and that shooter comes in, you want to make a lot of noise. It doesn't matter if you scream at them, whatever. Move around. Don't stay in one spot. A fire extinguisher works great because it not only is a heavy item, but it is able to discharge a white cloud, which creates some sort of concealment.
Those attending also heard from Thomas Crow, a retired Bennington policeman who now works with the Windhall Police and Rescue, about helping injured people by learning how to apply tourniquets and other measures to stop bleeding until the first aid responders can arrive.
You don't have anything to make a tourniquet? Put your knee right to it. Use direct pressure. We say elevation. If it's an arm, you can raise the arm. That'll help. Direct pressure, elevation. If you have to, and that doesn't stop it, go to your tourniquet. Now, having said that, I'd go to the tourniquet first, because now it's there.
The session was a useful one, said Jerry Gilmore, one of those attending the meeting.
In this day and age, it's best to be prepared for anything. And even though we are in a small community, I believe it can happen anywhere. And I'm grateful that we had the opportunity to get some skills to be able to handle a situation like that.
The Vermont Department of Health is also involved in helping educate the public on safety measures, said Dee Mirvang of the Health Department.
The state of Vermont has taken an active lead in training around the state on this issue, active shooter awareness, and they're going into businesses, schools, helping with emergency operation plans.
You got your cello on?
And helping so that people have the basic skills they need to be able to do something in a situation like this. Why the Department of Health? We have a really unique opportunity with our Medical Reserve Corps. So our Medical Reserve Corps is managed through the Department of Health, and it's volunteers all over the state of Vermont. I would say right now we have over 450 people registered, background checked, and ready to go in an emergency. So part of the problem when you have an emergency is you can't activate volunteers unless they've gone through some clearances. So with our Medical Reserve Corps, we're able to have volunteers ready to go. This is the type of training that my Medical Reserve Corps volunteers have asked for. They know that that it's provided for state employees and certain folks, but they said the citizens want this type of training. So we were able to use a model they used up in St. Albans that I mentioned is now going to be rolled out throughout the state, and we're one of the first to do it down here in southern Vermont. And as you could see by the attendance today, people are really looking for skill sets, knowledge, education on what can we do in a situation like active shooter.
Another ALICE training session is planned for next month in Bennington. For the GNET TV News Project, I'm Andrew McKeever.
I would like to ask Janet if you have, I think, the fact that we weren't able to get to one of the items tonight because you have too much going on, do you think that you have sufficient support to help do your job?
Depends on whether the town wants me to get to these zoning revision issues. Mm-hmm.
So right now you have one...
In as timely... I mean, we thought we were going to be able to do this months ago.
Right. Do you have... you have help, but it's only partial throughout the week?
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, 10 hours a week maybe, roughly.
So I got... The reason I'm bringing it up is I just wonder if the Planning Commission wants to consider recommending additional help, or if we're okay with a slower pace And it is what it is. But I just want us to consider that.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like you have a lot on your plate.
Do you think additional help would be, would make your...
I mean, it's no secret. I have asked John on multiple occasions that he consider that there should be two full-time people in my department, but it's not seriously considered by, I don't think, by John or the select board.
Well, what I propose, because I know I've been hearing this for a while now, is that I would be supportive of writing a letter to the select board and to John saying the planning, if we other people were in agreement,
I mean,
saying
absolutely.
That we would support additional help, additional qualified, capable help to help, because if you don't take it seriously, then it's not that difficult. But when you take it seriously and you take your job seriously, then there's a lot of time-consuming things. I know the level of detail you put into your responses to permit applications, and it takes a lot of time. And if you want to do it right, it takes a lot of time. So mm-hmm. I feel that I wish we could make a little more progress on things, and but there's just isn't that many hours in the week. So I think having an increase in support from a planning and zoning perspective makes sense to me. So I propose that I can craft a letter, and then we'll send it around, and maybe at the next meeting we can all sign it.
Yeah.
Pass it on.
Absolutely support that.
Well, I mean, the question is politically whether there is a that will to make that happen in this town, and in the past I have been told no.
That's fine. I just want them to know how we feel about it, and that.
Is it a political will? Is it a financial thing?
Oh, yeah.
It's not.
Yeah, but that's political.
Okay. No, I just
like there are people that come to every town meeting and question, you know.
Oh yeah,
the level
the pennies in the budget.
Yeah.
I know, they do. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we're all volunteers here, except for you and John, and of course the other staff members. So, it's difficult to make real progress with volunteers, and we rely on the people who are professionals and who have the daily time to make advances on different fronts. And I feel like, from a planning perspective, it's difficult to do that.
I mean, you know, we can live with the problems with the new ordinance for a while. No, they haven't created huge problems, but, you know.
Well, that's my point, is if we don't take it seriously, and we know things are wrong, and we're saying, all right, things need to get improved, but we're not gonna stress over it, then that's fine. And,
yeah.
But I'd rather get it to a point where we're somewhat satisfied, and
I think I would also be told that, you know, we haven't given this new arrangement with the shared part-timer enough time. But, you know, he's pulled in a lot of different directions. John also gave him a new responsibility he gave him the town health officer responsibilities. So he's assistant to assessing and assistant to me and town health officer, and he's part-time.
Wow.
So 9 to 3.
Okay. Well, we'll just, I'm not going to be aggressive about it or insulting. I just wanted to say that it's something we would support.
Thanks for listening local. For more local content, visit GNAT.tv.